Ready to get into the Word. So if you have your Bibles, let's open up to Exodus chapter 28. And as you guys are turning to Exodus chapter 28, I want to pray again, ask God just to really open up His Word. I was wanting to get a couple of chapters. We'll see if that's possible tonight. I don't know with sharing how far we'll get, but we'll see where God leads it. But let's pray and ask God's blessing on the teaching of His Word. So, Father, we now come and honor You by the teaching of Your Word. And Lord, You tell us in Your Word there's only one thing that You hold higher than Your name. And that's Your Word. You tell us in the Psalms that You hold Your Word even above all Your name. And since You have the name that's above all names, and You hold Your Word even above that, Lord, that shows us where You hold Your Word in perspective to everything else. Your Word is paramount. And so I pray now that we would honor You by studying Your Word. I pray that You would now open up Your Word to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that You would teach us. And Lord, once again, as we look at the tabernacle and the priestly garments and all these things that are rather technical with the way You set up the worship for the children of Israel, Lord, let us see You and let us see, Lord, ourselves and what You want us to do even as we go through the book of Exodus. So open Your Word to us and teach us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we continue on in Exodus, guys, remember, a lot of this stuff you could just see as an unbeliever or maybe even as a believer and think, why in the world did God include all this and why do we study this? And there's a lot of technicalities and the way everything's made and all the priestly garments, which we're going to see tonight. But God has a reason for all of it. It's not just the specifications He gave for the temple and for the priests and all back in that day, but it really is a picture of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's a picture of us in putting on our robes of righteousness, because the Bible says now that we serve Jesus, guess what? We are kings and priests to the Lord. So we are priests ourselves now. So there's a lot of analogies that we can draw from this as we go through it. It's not just studying something that happened back then. It's something that applies to us now. And so as we get into this, we'll just be looking at looking for Jesus, as always, but seeing this whole picture of what He did for us and what He wants us now to be as His priests, if you will, even in Christ. And so verse 1, chapter 28, He says, now, again, where we finished last week, if you remember, we looked at the making of the tabernacle, the formation of the tabernacle in the wilderness, and now He gets to the priestly garments. He says, now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to Me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Did you know you can minister to the Lord? Remember, you're kings and priests to the Lord. And notice what He said. Set these guys apart so they can minister to who? To Me. That is, minister to Jesus. Now, we think about ministering to each other. And as a pastor, I think about, Lord, use me to minister to the flock tonight, so to speak. And I'm a part of that flock. But use me as I share Your Word. But God wants us to minister to Him. And we're going to see a lot of that through this process. God gets ministered to. And you say, well, how do we minister to God? One way is right now we're ministering to God by blessing Him, by studying His Word. He holds His Word even above His name. And if it's that important to Him, then what reverence do you think He wants us to have for it when we come together as the body of Christ? But also as we worship. The Bible says when we worship the Lord, we're ministering to the Lord. When you're fasting, when you're praising, when you're seeking God, you're ministering to the Lord. It's interesting when Paul was called out. Remember, Paul called out for he and Barnabas to go do the missions work. It says, as they fasted and ministered to the Lord, it says that in Acts, the Holy Spirit said, send these guys out. So as we minister to the Lord, not only are we blessing the Lord as we spend time in the Word and in prayer, ministering to Him because it blesses Him, guess what happens? As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. So as we minister to the Lord in our private quiet time, God speaks to us. As we minister to the Lord now corporately in His Word, He's going to be speaking to your hearts. Why? Because you're ministering to Him, and when you begin to minister to Him, He begins to minister back. And He pours out on you what you pour out on Him, and yet much more. And notice He says, you shall make holy garments. Holy just means garments that are set aside for the high priest, for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So again, they're to look nice. And to be something that is going to be show the beauty of the Lord. Remember, there's a picture in this of God's beauty in heaven. Now, we don't really have that picture so much today within the church, but in the tabernacle, He specifically says we're painting a picture of the beauty of heaven. So everything I do has a specific guideline for it to show My beauty, so you can get a picture in the best you can in an earthly sense of His beauty. And so everything they made was very intricately done. You're going to see the details are stellar. He says, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. Notice they're gifted, and God filled them with wisdom and a spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister again to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, that would, this like a robe that would go over you, a robe which was longer than the ephod, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, again for his head, and a sash which went around his waist. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. And they shall take the gold, the blue, the purple, the scarlet thread, and fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. Now again, all of these are symbolic. Gold, again, the colors. The gold is kingly. Blue is a picture of the heavens. Purple is also kingly. Scarlet shows the sacrifice that was done. So all of these colors have a purpose and a meaning in here as well. And what's interesting about this, when they make this, and by the way, again, next week I'll bring my iPad. I forgot to bring it this week, but I'll bring it next week and catch you up maybe on some pictures of the priestly garments. And matter of fact, I'll show you the new ones that they've made. As you know, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, they're making and have almost made all of the implements for the third temple that the Bible says in the last days will be rebuilt. They've already got them made. I've seen them. Many of you that have been to Israel with us, you've seen these implements as well. Now, one of the last things, we went this last trip, they had finished the high priest garment. So what you're reading about, I'll show you a picture of the new one that they've made. They literally take strands of gold and made thread out of it. Strands of gold, and they weave the gold in with all the other materials. So there's gold in the material. It's actually in the outfit, real gold. And so this is what God prescribed to do. They literally did it. It's amazing to see, you know, as flexible as gold is, that you can use it in a garment, but it works great. And like I said, hopefully I'll get to show you some pictures of that next week. But he says, it shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, so it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Then you shall make two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, that is the 12 tribes, six of their names on one stone and six of the names on the other stone in order of their birth. So the high priest had these stones right here on either side. And again, we'll try to show you a picture of that next week. Six tribes, and it was a picture of the fact that the high priest was bearing the burden of the people on his shoulders. Not that he was carrying them. God is the one that carries them. But it was a reminder that he was to be for the people. He was to pray for the people. He was to pray for the tribes. He was to help them carry their burdens. And what does the Bible say about us? Now that we're kings and priests unto the Lord, right? What does the Bible say? We are to carry one another's burdens. Sometimes people come to me and listen, you're a priest as well. We're not a priest in the sense of back in that time, but in God's economy, spiritually, we are all priests unto God. So we carry the names of our brothers and sisters on our shoulders. And it's not to be overwhelmed with their burdens, so to speak, but it's to help them carry their burdens. And the New Testament says that. The New Testament says that we're to carry one another's burdens. And I'll have people come to me sometimes, and they'll be sharing their issues with me or whatever they're struggling with. And from time to time, they'll say, I'm so sorry to put all this on you. I'm so sorry to weigh you down with all of my problems. And I remind them, this is what the Bible says I'm called to do. This is what the Bible says you're called to do. And it doesn't weigh me down. If you guys come to me and you share your burdens with me, it doesn't weigh me down. It affects my heart because I care about you. And I want to pray for you. But it doesn't weigh me down because I just put it on the Lord. I can't carry all your burdens. I can give you counsel. I can pray for you. I can love you and help you through them. But my job is to take it to the Lord, even as your job is to take it to the Lord. And there's this symbolism of Jesus who has our names, and he carries our names. He carries our burdens on his shoulders. And then we, as his priests, if you will, in the kingdom of God under that, we carry each other's burdens and we help hold each other's arms up. You remember when Aaron and Hur were on either side of Ben. No, I'm just kidding. Not Ben Hur. But Aaron and Hur and Moses, and they were holding his arms up. Remember during the battle against the Amalekites? And there's this whole picture there of, you know what? He was weary. It was hard for him to continue to pray and to be able to pray effectively. And they held his arms up. It's a picture of how we're supposed to be praying for each other. Listen, I have people that on a regular basis that are going through very, very heavy situations and trials. And they'll call up and just say, can you pray for me? Or maybe I'll call them and say, hey, I know what you're going through. I'm praying for you. Or can I pray for you? Why? Because our job is to lift each other's burdens and to help each other. That's what we're to do. There's times when I need you guys to lift my arms and to pray for me. And then there's times I need to lift your arms and to pray for you. And again, in symbolism and in type. And so there's this beautiful picture here of how Jesus carries our burden on his shoulders. And we as his followers now, as priests to God, we're to carry each other's burdens and to pray for each other. Notice he gives more detail about it. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of the signet, you shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel, and you shall set them in settings of gold. And you shall put them, or rather put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones, that is remembrance, for the sons of Israel. So the priest is always to remember the nation. You know, you'd look over, you'd see these stones and say, God, have mercy on the people of God. Have mercy on them, and may you pray specific tribes who have a need or whatever the case might be. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. And you shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords and fasten the braided chains to the settings. So again, notice the detail. Everything's in its proper place, proper order, holding the stones in place. All of the ephod is in proper order, and everything was done in a very specific way that God laid out because it was a picture of our high priest Jesus. Now he comes to the breastplate. He says, you shall make the breastplate of judgment, artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Again, those same colors. Fine woven linen you shall make it. And it shall be doubled into a square. So basically just a square. A span shall be its length and a span its width. A span speaks of your hand. So it would be that wide of a hand and that tall of a hand. Okay, so when it speaks of a span, that's what he's speaking of. So a small thing he would wear right here in the center. Again, I apologize. We'll have pictures of it next week. It's a lot easier to picture when you can see it. You shall put settings. Notice this. You shall put settings of stone in it, four rows of stones. The first row, and again, these rows represent the tribes of Israel again. The first row shall be sardis, topaz, and emerald, and they shall be in the first row. The second, turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. The third, jacinth, agate, and amethyst. The fourth, beryl, onyx, and jasper. And they shall be set in gold settings, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name, and they shall be according to the 12 tribes. You shall make chains for the breastplate at the end, like braided cords of pure gold, and you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And then you shall put the two braided chains of gold and the two rings, which are on the ends of the breastplate, again, just positioning it. And the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings, and you shall put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in front, and you shall make two rings of gold. You shall put them on the two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it, which is the inner side of the ephod. Again, these are just different rings that are positioned in different places on this breastplate, holding it to the high priest to the rest of his garments. And two rings of gold you shall make, and put them on two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward the front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod and so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. Do you think God cares about details? God is a detailed God, have you noticed? We're going to see one place he doesn't give details, but there's a reason for it later on. But again, just God is a God of detail. And, you know, I think that God expects us to be those of detail. Detail in our relationship and our walk with God. And so Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate. Here's the key of this. Notice this. On the breastplate of judgment over his heart. And I have that underlined. When he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. Notice this. He had the 12 tribes of Israel on his shoulders. That is symbolic of helping to carry one another's burdens in the Lord. And now he had the 12 tribes over his heart, showing that it's not just the burdens that you carry, but it's the care that you have for the people you're carrying the burdens for. It's the love that you have for them. They mean something to you. They're on your heart. And by the way, it's not by accident that God chose jewels to represent his people. I know this is literally speaking of the children of Israel, but it's God's children in general that he's talking about as well. There's an application to us. Yes, the literal interpretation of the nation of Israel, but the application to us is God carries our burden on his shoulders. God carries us close to his heart. And here's how he views you. He views you as a jewel in his kingdom. Now, is that amazing or what? Everything has a reason. It's all symbolic of something God is trying to show us as his children. And I don't know about you, but I don't oftentimes feel like a jewel. I may feel like a rock that's maybe getting in the way, but not a jewel. But God views us very differently than we view ourselves. He sees you as a jewel that he holds close to his heart. And it's pictured here in this whole picture of the high priest. But again, it's also a picture of us as priests to God, holding each other close to each other's heart. And he says, and you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, or the Urim and the Thummim. There's different pronunciations there. And you shall be over, they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Now, what are the Urim and the Thummim? Actually, we don't know. And nobody really knows. You can read all the commentaries you want and look at all the information you want historically. And some people say that it was a couple of different stones, a white one and a black one. And you would take them out and cast them. And whichever one fell where you wanted it to fall, that you knew what God's will was. Or they would say that one of them would even glow when he's a yes, and the other one would glow when it was no. And there's all kinds of theories about it. We don't really know what it was. But it was something that God gave them that the high priest knew that was God speaking. It wasn't like throwing dice, you know, and drawing straws type thing. God did it in such a way, they knew that it was the Lord. Wouldn't you love to have a couple of those today? I mean, I think about some of the blessings they had. I'm glad we're not under the law. Actually, I'd rather not be under the law than anything else. But there were a couple of good things about the law, and this is one of them. You knew exactly what God's will was. If you were the high priest and you sought out the high priest, should I do this, should I not do it? God would speak through the Urim and the Thummim in whatever way he did it, and you would have a direct and positive answer from God. That would be something wonderful, would it not? Today, what do we have? Today, we just have to pray. And we trust in God to lead us. We move forward in faith, and we trust in God to lead us. And God is now teaching us to depend on his Spirit to lead us. Back then, they didn't really have the Spirit. The Spirit came upon them, but the Spirit wasn't in them. Remember, the indwelling wasn't in them because Jesus had not yet died on the cross. So the only thing the high priest had available to them was the alongside, the Spirit being with them, the upon, giving them power, which is the other working of the Holy Spirit. But the one of the main workings of the Spirit that we all depend on is his presence in us. That didn't come till the cross. And so now we have the Spirit in us, and God wants us to learn to be sensitive to that Spirit and to hear God's Spirit and let that be our Urim and our Thummim, if you will. But they didn't have that at that time, so God helped them out and gave them, you know, something else. Like I said, sometimes I think it'd be easier to have that than try to figure out what the Lord's saying, but he wants us to grow and be able to do that. So it goes on to verse 31, the other priestly garments now. He says, you shall make a robe of the ephod of all blue, and there shall be an opening for the head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet. You've seen pomegranates, the pomegranate plant, all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem, that's around the bottom, this circle at the bottom of this high priest robe. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. Now again, it says that he may not die. We don't know exactly what this means either for sure. There are different theories. And one theory says they put the bells on the bottom of the robe because remember, the high priest could only go in the Holy of Holies once a year behind the veil. And if he did something that was wrong before God, let's say the high priest was in sin, and he didn't confess his sin, and he didn't make a sacrifice for himself by blood before he went in there because he was too prideful, he didn't want to admit it, and he just, I'll just go in there and do what I'm supposed to do as a high priest, God would strike him dead. We see Nadab and Abihu that didn't do it the right way, and God struck them dead. It was a whole different economy than it is now by the grace on the cross. It was very different in this day. God was gracious, but there wasn't the blood yet covering. So God's the same, but the blood had not yet been spilled. So it was a much different economy. So if the high priest went in there and he did something wrong and dropped dead, and they hear the bells quit ringing, they would realize, okay, the high priest is dead. And you might be thinking, well, how'd they get him out of there? Some say, now some dispute this, and there's differences of opinion on this. Some say that when the high priest went in once a year, they'd tie a rope to his ankle. And if the pomegranates quit, you know, they'd be like, priest so-and-so, are you okay? You know, no answer. They'd drag him out because you couldn't go in there. Nobody could enter there but, you know, the high priest once a year. And so is that the reason he did it? I don't know. Could be. Another reason is that I think that it's something where when God calls and anoints someone for ministry and God puts his Spirit upon them, you can recognize them. People that are around you guys. You ever heard somebody just say to you, you know, there's something different about you. What is it about you? Maybe you haven't even told them you're a Christian yet. People can hear the bells of the Spirit if you're walking with God. You've got on spiritual garments that people recognize. And, you know, it's interesting. I think that even for a pastor, I think God does something. And again, you know, this is, when I share this, I want to share this the right way, because I'm just like you guys. I'm made of the same stuff you are. I'm no more holy than you. I'm no more this than that or whatever. But I think that God puts on us an anointing of the Spirit. And people can recognize, I can't tell you how many times people don't know me. They'll just come to me and say, "You're a pastor, aren't you?" I'm like, it's always amazed me. It happens on a regular basis. Now, I don't know, do pastors stand a certain way? Maybe we, do we have certain mannerisms, you know? I mean, maybe it's because I was doing this. No, no, I'm kidding. But people say that, and here's what I think it is. I think it's the pomegranates around, not me, don't get me wrong, they're on your garments as well. I think everyone in here, as a priest of the Lord, people can, they can recognize God has done something in your life that people around you that don't know the Lord, they recognize there's something different about you. They can hear the priest in the room. And so there's a spiritual picture of this as well. When I get around other believers, I can recognize it. You know, even if they don't speak the same language, whether you go to Guatemala or go to Russia or go wherever, when I get around other believers, I can hear the palm, I can hear the bells ring. You know what I'm saying? Not literal bells, but I go, that's a believer. I just know it. And it's something God does in your life. Don't discredit that. You know, recognize God has given you that and use it as an opportunity. What's different about you? What's going on with you? Well, you know, begin to share with them. And so I, again, even though this is a literal thing that he did there for the priests, I think there's something that happens here quite literally in the Spirit. We're going to see later on when they anoint them with oil, there was the anointing oil was a very strong fragrance. And you guys have been anointed with oil of the Holy Spirit. And when you enter a room, if you're not walking with the Lord, you know, you may have a smell. It may not be a good one. But if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to be giving off a good smell for the Lord. There's an anointing. And people, they smell the Christian fragrance. You know, Paul talks about being a fragrance to life unto some and a fragrance to death unto others. Because people recognize the anointing in your life. They can just sense there's something different. And God gives a whole picture of this here with the high priest and the bells around the bottom of the robe and also the anointing oil that was on them. And again, this they said that when you put this anointing oil on, I mean, it was there all day and it was strong. The priest, if the priest walked in the room and you didn't see him, you'd go, a priest just entered the room. And I think, again, for you guys, the same thing. A believer, people should be able to know the fragrance of Jesus in your life. And when you come around, there's something about you that's pleasant. They may not know why. You ever go in certain people's houses and just feel this peace? And you find out they're believers. You go to believers' house, there's just a peace there. Why? The fragrance of the Lord, the anointing oil is there. And so I don't want to over-dramatize it, but I don't want to under-dramatize it because I think there is a true picture here that God is giving to something that really happens in the Spirit. He says, verse 36, you shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet. Notice this. Holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord that it may be on the turban that's on the priest's head, and it shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. Notice this. A priest of God should have holiness to the Lord always on his forehead. Now again, I'll show you the picture next week. Literally, they wore a turban. And right here is this metal. I'll show you the one they made. We've seen it's in Israel. Try to get pictures of the one they have for the new high priest. But it's this kind of rectangle, if I remember correctly. It's not a perfect square. It's a rectangle. Holiness to the Lord. And they wear it right there on their head. And that was a reminder to the priest that he was to be holy to God. That it was always in the front of his mind, quite literally, that he was to be holy for God. And he was a holy representative for God's people. Listen, priests of the Lord here tonight, you should always remember you are holy to God, and you should always have that reminder right there, I'm holy unto God. Why? Not so that you get puffed up, I'm holy unto God. No, but it reminds you, I need to be holy unto God. Remember, what is holiness? Holiness is not a tone of voice. I'm not more holy now than I was a moment ago. I'm no more holy. I changed my voice. I'm just still Mark, all right? I'm no more holy. If I go change and put a suit on and come back out here, that doesn't make me holy. Or I'll wear a robe. If I put a robe on, I'm no more holy. Holiness simply means, and I'll sum it up this way, I am set apart for God. If you're holy, you're set apart for God, and you're living the way God wants you to live. Everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, every person you talk to, you should remember that spiritually on your forehead, you're wearing a thing that's holiness to the Lord. And then you have a decision to make. Am I going to be involved in this or not? Am I going to do that or not? I need to be a representative for God. What if they smell the fragrance of a Christian and see me doing that? What if they hear the pomegranates ringing? I share with them that I believe her and I ring my bell, right? I know Jesus. And yet I don't have holiness to the Lord on my forehead. And I'm just like the world. You see how this, the picture doesn't work. And so I think this is a good reminder for the high priest. It was, but it's a good reminder for us. We need to be holy. You know, we talked last week about the different parts of the tabernacle. You had the outer court you came in. You had the holy place. And then in the very back, you had the Holy of Holies on the other side of the veil. That right there are the three areas that every Christian lives in throughout their Christian life. Every one of them. And really all of them should be used every day in the believer's life. And what I mean by that, the courtyard is you're saved. You got in. It's the place of sacrifice. It's where the burnt altar was. They sacrificed the animals, and since Jesus died for us, he's our sacrifice. Once you accept Jesus and what he's done on the cross, you're in the courtyard. You're in. You are now, the sacrifice has been offered, you're in. But you're not yet in the holy place. Remember, you had to go past the courtyard, past the laver, into what they called the holy place. And then you entered into the holy place, and that's where the menorah and the place of prayer, and it had the bread, the showbread, and the altar of incense. It's the place where when you get serious, okay, I know the Lord, but I want to grow in the Lord. I want to wear that holiness to the Lord banner on my forehead. Every day I'm going to eat the showbread and I'm going to have incense before God. Here's the picture. I'm going to be in the Word and I'm going to pray. And when you start every day, not just being in the courtyard, but now eating the bread of the Word, God's Word, and then begin to pray, what's happening? Now you're starting to enter into that holy place. This is where God can begin to cleanse you and wash you and say, you know, here's what my word says, you know, get the mind of Christ. This is right. This is wrong. Do this, you know, et cetera. And you get your guidance from the Lord and you start living for the Lord. You don't change, again, the way you talk or how you dress or you just who you are, but you start living for him. That's holiness. Now, the other place, Holy of Holies. Once we start living in that daily time in the word and in prayer in that holy place, there's an intimacy that grows with God. Now, the veil's torn. All are available to us. It's not some kind of special hierarchy of Christians. You know, you're more important Christian. You get to go on. No, we're all free to go to Christ. The throne room is open. But there's an intimacy level that comes the closer we get to God. And the more we have the showbread and the more we offer the incense up to God, which is a picture of prayer, as the priest would give the incense, he'd pray for the people. Now you can enter into the Holy of Holies. That place where there's just that intimacy, that where God reveals himself in greater and greater ways. And so this is, again, just a beautiful picture of that holiness that we're called to. And Aaron was to wear it right there on his forehead, keep it right in the front of his mind to live holy for God. He says, 39, you shall skillfully weave the tunic of the fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics and you shall make sashes for them and you shall make hats for them for glory and for beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron and your brother and his sons with him and you shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness that reaches from the waist to the thighs. Now this is interesting to me. He would have the priests wear linen. And God does the same thing for you, priests of God, tonight. What was linen known for? And why did God choose linen? It's very hot in the Middle East. And the priests were working around fire all the time, the sacrifices, the animals, all that went with that, out in the wilderness especially. And God said, I don't want you guys to always be sweating it. Jesus said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. And what that means is that in a spiritual sense, he wants us to wear linen as his servants. That means God doesn't want you to be so overburdened and so weighed down with what you're doing to serve him that you're just sweating all the time and always worried and always this and that and always just over whatever. We need to be diligent. We need to be about our Father's business, but it's our Father's business. He's the one that does it. Listen, my job is to prepare and to be ready for tonight. And then I come up here and I read God's word and I share with you what God has shown me and I encourage you in the word of God. I don't have to sweat what he's doing in your heart. I don't have to get up here and go, Lord, how can I make all their hearts change tonight? Their hearts have to change tonight, so I've got to grunt really hard. Maybe I'll talk louder and that'll make their hearts change or whatever, you know? And there's nothing wrong in talking loud. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if I tried to do things in my own strength that I thought would create a result in you, you know, that there's a difference in inspiration and perspiration. God is the one who goes and changes the heart. My job is to share the word of God, and as you're hearing it, God goes to you, you know what, I really do need to be holy. I really need to think about being holy and what that means. And I'm glad to be in the courtyard. I'm glad that Jesus died for me, but I'd like to be closer. Maybe I need to start eating that daily show bread and put offering that incense up to God. I think tomorrow morning I'll get up and spend a few minutes in the Word and I'll pray. See, the Holy Spirit does all that while I'm sharing this and talking. He's the one doing that. So I just have to relax, do what I'm supposed to do, and minister to you guys. Let him minister by his Spirit as I do that. Now, why do I say all that in relation to me? Turn it back to you now. Don't be overburdened by what God's called you to do. Just do it. Well, I can't do that because. Just do it. What has he asked you to do? You're not going to make the kids' hearts change in the kids' ministry. You're not going to make your message more powerful by worrying about it. You're not going to just do what he's called you to do. Let the Holy Spirit do the work he's going to do. Keep on your spiritual linen and don't sweat it. Trust him. He's the one that's going to get it done. You just do an appeal. I've got to go tomorrow and speak to this group. Don't sweat it. Just pray. Put on your linen. Pray and say, God, here I am. Now use me. And God's faithful to do that. He'll do that with you guys. And so he says, they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. Man, I wanted to do 29. And now we're going to quit early because I'm not going to try to do 46 verses. I already talk fast. So I'm not going to try to do that. But I guess what I would say is this, and really just encourage us tonight, we'll end a little bit early, and that's okay. Are we wearing the priestly garments? Remember, the Bible says we're to put on the robes of Christ. Put on the robes of righteousness. We take off the old man and put on Christ. There's a whole picture in this. So when you meditate on this and you let this marinate, you're putting on the priestly garments. Remember, the way you dress spiritually is how the world sees you. When you enter a room, do people recognize there's somebody different here? I don't know why, but they're different. Can they hear the bells of the priest ringing? Do they smell the anointing oil and the fragrance of the incense when you enter the room? They should. I'm not saying every time I walk in the room, people recognize that there's somebody spiritual in the room, and I don't want to paint a picture. I'm not trying to paint a picture of myself that way because I know me. But I'm using the picture here that God gives of those that are his servants. This is what we're supposed to be to the world. And so we're supposed to do that. You know, if you want to see, do you have the fragrance of Christ? You know how you know you're at work. And somebody cusses, and they see you and go, oh, I'm sorry, man. You're a fragrance to Christ. They heard the bells on your garment. And they recognize something's different about this guy, and I probably shouldn't be using that language around him, and so I need to back that up. What's happening is you're not judging him. You're just being who you are, and you're shining light, and they're being convicted about where they are. So just shine your light. Shine your light. Let your bells ring and smell good for people in the spirit. And God will use you. Put on the priestly garments. And again, I think probably one of the biggest things for me in this whole thing tonight is that holiness unto the Lord on the forehead. Are we living holy lives? You know, not the better than everybody or spiritual pride. That stinks. We know that. But just being humble and being real. You know, holiness is recognizing who we are and recognizing who God is and then doing our best to walk in the way he wants us to walk. Knowing that we fail a lot, that we're going to mess up a lot. We're not perfect, but we're saying, God, I turn myself over to you. Now you help me to do what you want me to do. I want to please you today. And as you do that, you're not only going to live a life that's holy unto the Lord, but you're going to be ministering to him. It's going to be a blessing to him. And so that's what we want to do, guys. We want to minister to the Lord. And so I encourage you guys this week, you know, if you've been living in the courtyard, we talked about it last week, you know you're saved, but you're not really going for it. And you can see right there's the holy place right in front of you. You can see the showbread. You see the bread. And you see the place of incense. You see the Bible sitting on your mantle every morning or on your table there, you know. And you realize that you need to be reading it, need to be praying, not because it's works and you've got to please God. God's already pleased. Jesus died on the cross. There's nothing, you're not going to make God happier. You know, God just wants to be closer to you. So the closer you move to that time in the bread, that time in the incense, the closer you get to the Holy of Holies. And then God can begin that deeper intimacy. So again, I guess I would just encourage us. Let's live holy for the Lord. Let's draw into the Lord. Let's begin to seek the Lord and let our fragrance, let people recognize, you know, there's something different about you guys. And people see it, and then you just be bold with it and be a witness for it. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. And although I didn't get as far as I wanted to tonight, Lord, what I was planning to do, God, you you got as far as you wanted us to go tonight. And I trust, God, that through your word, you said what you wanted to say to everyone in this room. God, I pray you'd help us to be priests that are pleasing unto you. I know we're priests. Your word says that when we give our life to you, in Revelation, it says we are kings and priests unto the Lord. So tonight, God, we are priests unto you. Help us, God, to put on the robes of righteousness, or to gird ourselves up with your clothing, your holiness, God. Having that sign on our forehead, Lord, at the front of our mind, knowing that we're to live holy unto you. God, offering up the incense unto heaven in prayer, and Lord, the showbread, feasting on the showbread so that we're drawing close to you, Lord, and taking you in. God, walking in that anointing that has that fragrance of Christ. Lord, with the bells on our spiritual robe and the fragrance of the incense as we walk, and people realizing there's something different about this guy. There's something different about this girl. God, let us be those witnesses and a testimony to you in that. I thank you, Lord, for the honor and privilege it is to be kings and priests unto you. Lord, help us to grasp what it means and not just to take it lightly. I thank you that we're not under the law, and that now we do have the indwelling of your Spirit, Lord, that ministers straight to our heart and that we can minister to you through it. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to not be satisfied just being in that place of sacrifice in the courtyard. Seeing that you died for us, Lord, I know that's enough in the sense of being saved. But God, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that's not really living in that place of holiness, that from a distance, God, as they look across the courtyard and see other priests, other believers entering into the holy place and enjoying the showbread and offering up incense to heaven, God, put a longing in the heart to want to be a part of that as well. I pray, God, that as we gaze in our mind in the holy place, that we would see the Holy of Holies and realize that those that are partaking of the showbread and of the incense altar and the prayers to heaven and the light of the menorah shining on them, Lord, that it would give us a desire for that intimacy and that closeness with you, Lord, in that most holy place. God, we want to be close to you. I thank you for saving us. We know we're in the kingdom. But God, I think about Paul tonight. Paul said, I want to know Christ. And Lord, Paul knew you. And if it wasn't enough where Paul was, how could it be enough where we are? God, I know it's not enough for me. Paul was a lot closer to you than I am. I want more. I want to see you, Lord, in your holiness. And I want to walk with you in holiness. And I want to minister to you. And I want to not just be saved. I want to be called your friend. Lord, do that in us tonight. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Forgive us of our sins, God. Come upon us with your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you already indwell us. But use that, God, to draw us into that place of intimacy with you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit tonight. And God, I pray now that as we offer up incense to you, Lord, right now in the holy place, as we're here, Lord, setting ourselves apart for you for this moment, as we offer up this next worship song, God, it's no different than when the priest would take the hot coal from the altar and put it on that incense altar, and then take that special mixture of incense and sprinkle it over that coal from his hand. And as it poured like sand down on top of those coals from the fire, God, history tells us the room filled with a plume of smoke that wasn't a coughing smoke or an unpleasant smoke, but a beautiful fragrance that could even be smelled outside the holy place. And that fragrance, Lord, began to get on the priests and everyone around there. God, we want the fragrance of Jesus on us tonight. And God, your word says that it ministers to you when we offer up the prayers of the saints and when we worship you, and as that smoke would flow to heaven and represent, Lord, the praises and the prayers going up to heaven. As we sing this last song, God, let us just see the fragrance of our worship truly from our heart going up to heaven. Lord, that you would take the incense from your hand and pour it on our hearts, and that you would make our hearts so on fire for you that a plume would just explode, Lord, from our chest to heaven in praises to you, giving you glory. and ministering, Lord, to you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. And now we, as your kings and priests, offer up the incense of worship and praise. God, would you minister back to us during this time? And I ask that as we worship and praise you, that you would pour out your Spirit on us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you'd fill us with your joy in who it is that we're worshiping and the hope we have in eternity with our God. God, no matter what anyone's going through in this room tonight, no matter how hard their situation, this is all temporary. And one day it's just going to be praises for eternity long in the kingdom. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your ministry to us tonight through your word. And I pray, God, now that you'd use us to minister to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name.